Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Alongside Sterling Bennett, this is Dan Avone. Welcome to Day 3 of the NFL 2024 Draft as the 49ers will pick 4 through 7. We're about, 45 minutes away from their next pick?
No, no, we have like 4 picks away.
Which is about half an hour.
No, not on Day 3. They're about 10 minutes away.
What's the over and under? I'm saying that thing
think
is
it's 45 minutes.
I'm saying it's closer to 20 minutes than 10.
I'd say about 15
minutes. Pick 120 just came minutes? In. We're four yeah. away.
By the way, on the clock are the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers, who, by the way, their quarterback room, which now consists of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields.
Yes, it does.
So Justin Fields now obviously a member of that of the Steelers, which was somewhat of a surprise if you just signed Russell Wilson. A bit of disrespect maybe for old Russ, but how are you viewing the number one pick overall? Caleb Williams going to Chicago now to take over for one Justin Fields.
I think he's in probably the greatest situation for a rookie quarterback ever. He has three amazing weapons at receiver. Keenan Allen,
DJ Moore,
and now Roma Dunze. The offensive
line. That was a great first round for them. Wow.
Oh, yeah. And if Williams struggles in year one, he has the weapons around him to pick him up. They did sign DeAndre Swift. They have Cole Kmet. Like, he has a lot of pieces. You can improve the offensive line here or there, but I think just focusing on the first round and Caleb himself, I know there's a lot of opinions on Caleb the person. I don't think there are a lot of questions of who Caleb is as a player. And I think people see him cry in the stands. What does that mean? Is he strong-willed? Does he have the dog in him? I watched him walk out there, and I myself have questions of who he might be. Does he have the ability to go out there and, you know, if he gets hit and knocked around, can he go out there and just have a dog in him? But he's screaming at Goodell saying, let's go, let's go. And he's super confident in himself. You can tell that he's ready for this. And when you're in a situation like Williams where you got the Lions ahead of you, you got the Packers there who almost gave the Niners a swift kick in the butt out of the playoffs last year after they beat Dallas, and the Vikings are trying to build something as well, so it's not going to be easy, but he's in a really great place for a young player.
He's in a great place because he has a lot of tools.
Exactly.
He got a lot of pressure, man.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of pressure.
And there's a lot of coaching questions of, is Eberflus the guy for Chicago?
And Chicago's got a lot of pressure. They can't screw this up. After moving up, was it 2018 to get Trubisky number two?
With the Niners.
And then, that 2018 is very forgettable for that of San Francisco. But, I mean, this is a lot of pressure for a young quarterback. Certainly has all the tools. But there are those that will tell you Jaden Daniels was the pick. There's a lot of people that believe.
For Chicago?
Number one overall. Yeah. A lot of people feel that Jaden Daniels was the guy, the most poised in the pocket. He was the one thing they'll say on Caleb is that he's willing to bail a little bit too quickly. Like if his first read, second read are gone, and he has better athleticism once he gets to the outside and is able to extend plays. But yeah, Jayden Williams was thought to the room wasn't divided, but there's a lot of people that I respect that believe that he is the best quarterback. Meanwhile, it almost from the people there are certain people that I'll go to and these sort of things that are analysts because there's so many this time of the year. But there's like three or four. I'm like, and Phil Sims being one of which.
Okay. Kyle Shanahan's guy.
And I think that while the consensus was that Jayden Daniels could go number one, it seems as though everybody is out on Drake May going that high.
Why?
They just don't think that they think there's too many holes in his game.
Which is funny because there was a lot of conversation and people were kind of in between of will Jayden Daniels go to? Will Drake May go to? I think Drake May fits what New England's going to want to be in the future more than Jayden Daniels was going to. But I'm someone who the questions around Drake May are what? The accuracy? He's one of the best deep ball throwers in the entire college football last season. So I don't know if he'll probably be the third best of those top guys. This quarterback class in itself, speaking of quarterbacks, Penix at 8 with Atlanta, and then Bo Nix at 12 with Denver. If I'm one of the top 5 teams getting quarterbacks, I'm a lot happier to be New England than I am the Falcons, who I think didn't need a quarterback at all, and the Broncos, who undoubtedly could have gotten Bo Nix in round 2. Like, I don't know what they were thinking. Like, you could have got anybody else and improve the defense, improve the offense, but man. Like, Bo Nix at 12?
Where are you at with what seems to be a lot of everybody seems to have a strong take on, and that, of course, is Atlanta's pick, and Michael Penix coming off the board at number 8.
Was that probably the biggest surprise on day one, that the Falcons, who just signed Kirk Cousins to a $100 million guaranteed contract for 3 or 4 seasons, whatever it was, you'd think quarterback is short up now. I get it. He has Achilles injuries. He 100%. You want to get a guy in the room that you like a lot, and can maybe play in 1 or 2 years' time. Penix has the injury history as well. More of a statuesque kind of quarterback. He's a lefty. You give him time to accommodate himself, and when Cousins is gone in 3 or 4 seasons, he's ready to go. I get that, but the Falcons seem to be wanting to contend now in a really bad division that is the NFC South, led by Baker Mayfield of all people. Like, Derek Carr and the Saints aren't very good, although I like their first 2 picks this year. Then you have the Panthers, who are just an utter mess with Bryce Young and David Tepper out there making his own picks. You had a store clerk say, let your coach and GM, who, by the way, went to Azusa Pacific University, my alma mater, so go Cougs. But I don't know what the Falcons were thinking. New head coach, new GM. They had to almost tell Arthur Blank and explain to him why they're making the pick on the fly. Like, what are we doing? So I don't get it at all.
Well, I'll defend Atlanta, and I'll just tell you their thinking is that they're under the impression they're going to be a good football team. So the ability to pick at number 8 is again not something that's going to be very frequent over the next 5 to 10 years.
Agreed.
If things go well. So with the quarterback position being as centric as it is and the most important, one could argue, in professional sports these days, that you just simply can't get enough of these, that if he is your guy, if he's the guy that you've earmarked as being the generational quarterback, and I'm not necessarily in that camp, but that's what they arrived at, and if Michael Penix you feel as though is that guy, and you don't know the next time you'll have an opportunity to draft your quote-unquote quarterback of the next decade, they feel as though they're going to get their guy right now so that they have a succession plan in place. And people will throw out the comps like that of the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
Obviously, where you had the reigning MVP, that being Aaron Rodgers, and they went out and got his replacement in Jordan Love. At the time, it was highly, highly ridiculed. And now that you look back on it, it seems to be one of the most prudent decisions that you've
seen
on
draft day. It's worked twice.
So that's Atlanta's defense, is that we wanted to get a quarterback that we feel as though could be very, very good, and we know that we're not going to get an opportunity to draft this high, so why not set us up not just for the near future, for the next 2 years with Kirk Cousins, but for the next 10 by getting Michael Penix?
Does Penix need 2 or 3 years, though?
Well, that's just it. He's 24 years of age. Talk about those players like that of Ricky Pearsall is a five-year guy. So his best years are going to be right now for the next 2 years. And at 26 or 27,
right,
when you're thinking about him taking over. So there's a lot of holes in what it is that as I sit here and try and defend the Atlanta Falcons. The other being is that if you're going to compare yourself to the Green Bay Packers, well, keep in mind the Packers were picking it like in the 20s.
Right.
I want to say in the mid-20s in that first round, not at number 8.
And from what everyone's saying, Diana Rossini being the leading reporter on this, is that the whole reason why Kirk, part of the reason why he wanted to leave Minnesota was because they couldn't promise they weren't going to draft a quarterback. And he wants that, the comfortability of no one's going to be behind me pushing my job. Now he gets to Atlanta, which he has ties to, mind you, but moves his family to Atlanta, where his wife's family is, and they uproot themselves, where they've been in Minnesota the past, I don't know, 5-6 seasons. But only for in the first round, the Falcons to not tell him they're going quarterback, and then to blindside him saying, hey, this guy could push for your job in 2 years' time.
Well, on that regard, I would say Kirk Cousins, come on, man. If anybody has been, and he's been really astute. I mean,
your wife dresses you, Kirk. You got to grow up a little bit.
If anybody has been really smart about making business decisions,
correct,
it's been Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
He's got the bag on numerous occasions. Well, sometimes as a business, this is what teams will do. They will look to, go ahead. Where do we go?
The Bears just took a punter in the fourth round.
You can't go wrong with a punter in the fourth round.
Well, Jake Moody a year ago.
Yeah, well, that was arguably one of the biggest, like, what are we doing picks. And Torrey Taylor can be good. But we just talked about how great of a draft they're having. And then you go punter in the fourth round.
Listen, how many times do special teams win and lose your games? Sebastian Janikowski on line two.
I'm not discounting the idea of going a punter in the draft. But the fourth round is where you can find starting caliber players at certain positions. But I digress. Back to Kirk Cousins and Penix, and to avoid the punter conversation on day three of the draft.
That's what we're all about. As the draft picks come down, we want you specifically to sort of comment on these things. But no, I'm just saying when it comes to Kirk Cousins, I can't, and Diana Rossini, when you're telling me that, hey, listen, you know, you upset him from a personal standpoint, that now he's got to look over his shoulder. Well, put on your NFL big boy pants, all right? That's just the nature of this sport, all right? Especially for a guy who's made smart business decisions. This is the business of the NFL. And the business is that you're 35 years of age, you've had injury problems over the last couple of years, and we're just finding an insurance policy. Although I don't defend the pick, but I cannot defend Kirk Cousins' position, is that you insulted me personally. By the way, who's coming out now? Is it just anybody? Any coconut from who's got a jersey and just like, come on down?
Well, I won't.
Wait, I don't know who this person is, so I don't. Not necessarily the Houston Texans
the guy
I'm talking. But
you're gonna get us in trouble.
So the 49ers are picking.
They're on the clock next.
Geez, that was fast.
I told you, it wasn't 45 minutes.
I told you it'd be in the next 8 to 10 minutes, right?
Oh, damn.
So the 49ers, who will be picking next overall.
Which the Texans took what is, I think.
Tell me about Cade Strover out of Ohio State, a tight end. So a tight end is an area of need for the 49ers.
It is, and they watched Eric All go to the Bengals. Now Cade Strover and Theo Johnson have gone to the Giants, and now the Texans right in front of them. So at this point, tight ends are flying off the board left and right. Cade Strover, Dame Brugger of The Athletic, a third or fourth round consensus pick. He's 6'3", kind of a solid player at all three phases. Good blocker, good inline tight end, good hand catcher. He can play special teams. So for the Texans' sake, really good fit for what they want to do. I like it. Now, where does San Francisco go? They pick at 124 and 132. Matt Maiocco, who we all love, said they were not going to pick at 124. I would like to think they didn't expect the Texans to trade ahead of them with the Eagles and get pick 123. So it does leave the, do you need to overdraft the tight end here for the sake of getting one before you miss out? There's players like Terry McLaughlin from Arizona. There's players like Dallin Hoker from Colorado State.
Is Hoker a tight end?
Hoker and McLaughlin are. You can even go Zach Hine from South Dakota State. There are some players on the board still, but the Niners have to find that number two tight end. They almost paid Brock Wright from the Lions big money. He was a restricted free agent. He went back to the Lions because they matched the offer. So Pick 124 is going to be very, very interesting. Ken, if we can get it live, wave at me behind the board, and we can do this thing. But this pick right here for San Francisco, I don't know if it's...
The pick is in!
And we'll certainly see who it is. See if we can go to it live. Ken, let me know if we can. But...
It's a tease. We'll go. So the 49ers, the pick is in at number 124 in the fourth round. When you talk about a tight end need, it's not an area need, obviously, with Kittle. But when you're thinking about somebody that could be – and Kittle has been injury prone over the last couple of years. So whether it's Dwelly or guys who are getting run at that tight end position, the 49ers will look to find somebody potentially at that tight end position. But speaking of Kittle, let's keep in mind, while we're in the fourth round, he went in the fifth round and just turned out to be one of the best, certainly in the NFL. So as we have talked about, the San Francisco 49ers, while not necessarily in the first round, hasn't necessarily been something that you would consider their bread and butter. But when it gets to rounds 4 through 7, especially when you think about their starting quarterback, this is where the San Francisco 49ers have been able to separate themselves from the rest of the league, so to speak.
Right, and look, this is a position where the Niners can still find a starter. It obviously depends on their want and their need.
Well, let me just put you on the spot here. Are the 49ers going tight end? What position do you think right now are they going to address in terms of availability of players that you've assessed while writing Bart every night for 3 hours going out to wherever the hell it is you live in the East Bay?
Oh, Pittsburgh. Man, do I think they should go tight end? Tackle still on the board. They went Dominic Puni yesterday. He can play tackle and guard. That might take tackle off the board for them as a whole.
Okay.
Or they may not value it as much as they would have if they didn't get Dominic Puni. So we talked about Talanoa Hufanga and how the safety position could be up. There are some players still out there. Jaden Hicks from Washington State still on the board, more of a strong safety. Again, there is players like Dominique Hampton. Malik Mustafa is still there from Wake Forest. There are a handful of players that...
Who's the highest rated, would you say, right now? Not in the safety positions, but just the football player in terms of their area of need. Is it a tight end that's still out there? Or
I don't think so. I think tight end is probably further down the consensus board. I would say on day three, especially in round four, you find a lot of those guys that fall out of day two you weren't expecting. If you stick at safety there for the sake of it, Jaden Hicks was kind of that big thumping classic safety. Malik Mustafa was supposed to be kind of a day two, round three kind of player. He runs a 4.5 40, bigger bodied, high IQ player. His pro comp is a player San Francisco did covet this offseason but went back to the Patriots. That is Kyle Duggar. So there is a lot of, if you want to lean towards safety, Malik Mustafa makes a lot of sense in that regard. Cornerback's already kind of filled for the team. Defensive tackle, Leonard Taylor is still there, a run defending player, but there are size concerns with him, and his usage at Miami was very interesting, so the NFL might say, if you weren't used right in college, we may have to mold you to what we like in the NFL, and it can cause problems for his fit with the Niners.
All right, so
we'll see.
The pick is in. Round four, the San Francisco 49ers on the clock with number 124 overall. We're just moments away from the San Francisco 49ers. By the way, we will pick it up live, and you will hear along with everybody else who the San Francisco 49ers will pick in the fourth round. As Sterling has been able to lay out, there are still some areas of not necessarily need on a team that went to the Super Bowl a year ago, but tight end, the back end, when you think about the safety position, you can never get enough defensive linemen if there's somebody out there. And if it's going by just best availability, don't be surprised if it's a quarterback or it's a running back, because that's where you have to live at this point. The guy that you had just talked about, Malik Mustafa. Oh, did they just?
They didn't even announce it.
Oh, they didn't announce it.
They didn't let anybody announce it.
I guess they didn't air what are we doing, NFL Network? Figure it out. But I'll just say it myself. Malik Mustafa, who
Malik Mustafa
hit on,
goes number 124 to the San Francisco 49ers. Tell us about this guy that you had just mentioned about 3 minutes ago.
Right. So I would like to assume Cade Stover, tight end, was the highest guy probably on San Francisco's board. That said, Malik Mustafa, we talked about safety almost all day here of Hufanga may not be a guy here in 1 year's time. He has an injury. Who is he going to be? Malik Mustafa can play free safety, can also play strong safety. Every cornerback, every safety, every secondary piece San Francisco wants to attain and acquire, They have to be able to defend the run. Malik Mustafa is a phenomenal run defender. He'll take on tight ends. He'll take on bigger-bodied tight ends. He'll take on the offensive line. He's high IQ, really good at taking angles to tackles. Last year, against the Lions in the first half, especially against the Packers, the Achilles heel was bad angles, not containing the edge, and not tackling well. Malik Mustafa is someone that can take the edge, defend the edge, set the edge, take good angles, tackle well, but also, you'd think a player with the archetype of a good run defender is a bigger body guy. Well, yes, he isn't super small. He also has the explosiveness and versatility to play in and outside of the box and be that roaming safety behind a Hufanga or a Jair Brown. So I really do like this pick in regards to safety talent on the board. I think he fits them better than Jaden Hicks would have, because Hicks is a more in-the-box style of safety. But when you talk about a thumping, good coverage player, Malik Mustafa goes to San Francisco. They like him a lot, and they get their guy at 124.
Once again, Malik Mustafa out of Wake Forest, a young man that during his career had 175 tackles, three interceptions, and four sacks over some 35 games. Mustafa now going to San Francisco. We had talked about the safety position with San Francisco being sort of in an area of uncertainty where everything else seems to be pretty much cemented when you talk about a team that, again, went to the Super Bowl a year ago. But the 49ers at that safety position with Tashawn Gibson getting up there in years, there's talk about potential retirement with him. The injury to Talanoa Hufanga and the ACL, where's he at physically? And Jair Brown, while good at times, maybe not a guy ready to take over as a start at that position. Although, you know, certainly I think that if among the three, that maybe Jair Brown is the one guy that you'd have the most confidence in.
Yeah.
So with this pick, Malik Mustafa, and again, I'm just, as we sit here right now, the pick just came down moments ago. I'm thinking that this is a guy that's going to get an opportunity to start for the San Francisco 49ers. If he's that impressive over camp and over the next couple of months, that he's a guy that could crack the starting lineup.
Well, take it even further into that conversation of players that San Francisco has picked so far have either been 5-6 year players or Malik Mustafa, who was a team captain at Wake Forest last year. He has the personality you want in the locker room. 80 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, a half a sack, so he's a good blitzer, interception, 2 pass breakups, a forced fumble. Again, another playmaker for a defense, more so the secondary, who led, I believe, or at least was top 2 in all interceptions last year for the majority of the season. Over his time in college, 39 games at Wake Forest since 2022, 192 tackles. This kid is everywhere. So if Hufanga's out the door, which I think the Mustafa picks or the pick leads credence to that report, I believe Mustafa would fill in at strong safety arguably on day one.
Well, the one thing that, you know, when we talk about the young man, Talanoa Hufanga, who, again, was just a fan favorite and a huge star almost from the outset coming out of USC, somebody, again, that was in the latter rounds for the 49ers, but somebody that supports the run about as well as any young, maybe amongst the best safeties in the NFL doing that. Well, that's where this guy supposedly lives, and I'm talking about the pick Mustafa for the San Francisco 49ers. I'm just going to read you some of what it is that came down in his draft report. Mustafa will be in consideration as a down safety who can help support against the run and handle short and intermediate zone coverages. He's not widely instinctive, but he does play with a good burst on throws and well-timed challenges. He struggles against bigger targets and might not be the best option to handle single or two high safety looks. There are occasional mistakes made with aggressive downhill angles to ball carriers. I know I'm really getting in the weeds here, but for you mock draft people and living in the mom's basement, you'll stay with me here. But he's generally in position and maintains tackle-ready posture. When the time comes, he projects as an average backup, but does possess some quality play traits. Strengths, filled out his college frame with 25-plus pounds of muscle over time, swoops downhill and run support with good balance. I'm really getting to sort of, you know, what it is that they have on this guy, but he's a big kid. Looks like a safety.
Dane Brugler, who we talked about of The Athletic, creates this beast profile that's 300 pages long, has over like 400 prospects on it. he had Malik Mustafa as his sixth-rated safety. Now, Jaden Hicks is still out there. He was his first-rated safety, so maybe you can get in the weeds and say, well, I wanted Hicks over Mustafa. But Mustafa is someone, when you read the scouting report, he isn't the ball hawk in Jair Brown, but he is the playmaker coming down in the box, making tackles. That Talanoa-Hufanga might be. The ball skills aren't there exactly. One interception last season, but at least coming into the year, if nothing goes his way, he's going to be a good special teamer and at least give San Francisco flexibility in regards to what is Hufanga's injury is going to be coming into the year.
All right, Malik Mustafa is the newest member of the San Francisco 49ers at the safety position. He goes in the fourth round, number 124 overall. Sterling Bennett and Danavon will continue to talk about the draft pick. They'll be on the clock once again at 132. We'll have that for you. Hopefully we'll get it live. We'll continue with much more coverage of the San Francisco 49ers draft rounds 4 through 7, Sterling Bennett and Danavon on 95.7 The Game.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
The San Francisco 49ers have just moved up and now at the 129 spot. So San Francisco, after just picking Malik Mustafa, the safety out of Wake Forest at 124, now are on the clock once again. As the pick is in, round 4, pick 129 belongs to the San Francisco 49ers. We're moments away from finding out who that is. Sterling, any guess in terms of where they want to go with 129?
Honestly, is this Kyle Shanahan's running back? He traded up for him. I would not be surprised. There are a lot of good running backs on the board. I know Kyle Shanahan joked in an interview afterwards, after the first round, we would trade up for the third round running back. They can get the sixth-round running back, and that would be the better player. So if they're going to go running back, I have been saying this since the beginning of time, since I was conceived in 1995, that the Niners this year, Isaac Garendo from Louisville is my number one outside zone, wide zone running back in the draft. He has good enough vision. There's injury history there, so there are some concerns. But when you talk about 4-3 speed, the Dolphins like their speed, right, Ken? They drafted a running back. The Niners themselves, I would not be surprised if they say, you know what, give me an Isaac Garendo-type player who has good enough size. He's 6 foot, 220 pounds at speed. But if you don't want to go running back, there's those darn tight ends still out there. And if they don't go tight end, the more they wait, which they pick in a handful of picks, 135 still up, so there's still a chance there. But they must like this player a lot to jump teams like Baltimore, Kansas City, Philadelphia, Kansas City twice, actually. So this must be a player they're in love with at 129.
Well, the San Francisco 49ers currently, obviously, their featured back is Christian McCaffrey, one of the best. Elijah Mitchell, who was also very good at that position, if you remember, before going down with injuries and before the arrival of Christian McCaffrey, also a draft pick by that of the 49ers. Jordan Mason is number three on the depth chart with Patrick Taylor as number four.
Who?
Is that right?
It is, yeah.
All right, Patrick Taylor.
He's a Packers former special teamer and running back last year, but yeah.
So the San Francisco 49ers always looking for, you know, to bolster that running back position. And if you know anything about San Francisco, although with the arrival of Christian McCaffrey, they're pretty much a featured back, and they've got their workhorse. But, you know, Christian McCaffrey getting up there in years, and, you know, it's a team that likes to shuttle their running backs and use multiple guys should Christian McCaffrey not be ready to go. The pick is in. Once again, the 49ers trading up.
Who is it?
At number 129 in the fourth round. And the San Francisco 49ers, once again, just seconds away from making it official as to who it is that they will pick. If you just joined us.
Come on.
Malik Mustafa went 124 to San Francisco.
He did.
And here it is.
Oh. With the we got a live.
Welcome to El Centro de Alto Rendimiento, home of the Mexican national team in Mexico City. And now, with the 129th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Isaac Guerrero, running back, Louisville.
Let's
Vamos
go!
Vamos Niners, y viva Mexico!
Vamos Niners!
Dude.
Yeah.
All we need from them in Mexico is a Viva Sterling Bennett! Viva Sterling Bennett!
Let's go! Wow.
Sterling Bennett with the Man. Call. Tell us about this guy, Isaac Guerrero, who you just moments ago said that the 49ers could go running back, and this was the guy that, since you were conceived back in 1995, you've been following the career of. Tell us more detailed information about this young man.
So, Guerrero was someone where the production hasn't always been there, and he's someone you had to really dive into and find. I think it's a good spot for him here. He was a consensus fourth or fifth round pick via Dane Brugler, but literally when the combine came, he is like 99th percentile in everything. He climbed up draft boards so high in people's basements, in their mom's basements, the second and third round picks. That's probably too high for a player like Guerrero, but Guerrero, again, for what it's worth, number one wide zone outside zone running back in the draft. He's good enough to fight through coverage or fight through contact, excuse me. He'll lower his pads, 4.3 speed, capable pass blocker, which is a really, you know, strong key for a Niner running back. It's why Jordan Mason isn't always on the field. It's why people like Matt Breida and others in previous years have kind of struggled to stay in the system. That being said, he's also a really good pass catcher. So it's not as if you're going to lose a dynamic or he's a one-trick pony. He had 22 explosive runs last year on just 132 carries. So 6% of his runs were over 10 to 15 yards. One thing with him is he does have 4.3 speed, so it blows you away. But the acceleration isn't always there. He's not a player like Devon Achane who is just, when he's gone. He does take a while, but he will pull away from defenders. Again, there are some injury concerns there, but Kyle Shanahan taking a kind of boom or bust prospect here. And if he booms behind McCaffrey, Niners may have two dynamic running backs in the backfield
Ooh,
this year.
You're putting him in Christian McCaffrey.
I'm not saying he'll be McCaffrey. I'm just saying you have Christian McCaffrey, who's offensive player of the year, could have been the MVP, but Guerrero gives you something else than what Elijah Mitchell has been the past.
Hey, listen, I'm not questioning you after what you've done today. I'm bowing down. I'm bowing down.
Wow.
Once again, Sterling Bennett making the call. Isaac Guerrero. And when I woke up this morning, if you told me Isaac Guerrero, I would have said Gesundheit. I had no idea who this guy was, but he comes off the board to the San Francisco 49ers at 129, their second pick in the fourth round. So he joins Malik Mustafa, a safety out of Wake Forest, who was picked number 124 for the 49ers in the fourth round, and also in the fourth round just moments ago at 129, it's the running back from Louisville, Isaac Guerrero. Isaac Guerrero, who runs a 4.3 40, as you had just mentioned, 6 feet, 200 and 21 pounds as now he joins Elijah Mitchell, Jordan Mason, and of course, Christian McCaffrey, who will be the featured back for the San Francisco 49ers. I'll just read off some of his strengths here. Impressive blend of size, agility, and toughness. Ran with improved decisiveness and confidence in his reads in 2024 and 2023. Subtle lateral shifts to bounce around bodies through first two levels. Drops his pads and plows through early arm tackles. Defensive backs melt right off of his powerful legs and outside runs. So this guy apparently, much like that, I think, you know, I feel as though I'm describing Jordan Mason here, seems to have sort of that that lower body sort of power and the thickness. But I don't think Jordan Mason, once he gets to the outside, is running a 4.3 40.
No.
Where this guy sort of separates himself. But the young man, Isaac Garendo, out of Louisville, joins the San Francisco 49ers as they go back to the offensive side of the ball as the newest running back for San Francisco.
I was looking at my tweets, because usually when I find a player I like, I'll go on Twitter and I'll say, hey, check this guy out. My first Isaac Garendo tweet was February 24th of this year. And to now go through the process 2 months ago and now see where he's getting taken, I'm someone where if I fall in love with a player, obviously each fan has their pick they love and they fall in love with, but I'm someone who'll dive into round 5 and 6 and 7, who are the sleepers, who are the gems, because San Francisco has a knack for finding players there, and having not had a first-round pick in the last handful of seasons, you have had to live there if you're a Niner fan. This running back class has been, I don't want to say been lied about, but some may say it isn't as good as previous classes. I don't think that's entirely true. I just think there's more boom and bust in the prospects, but I can guarantee you, like Ricky Pearsall, although Pearsall probably a more impactful player in year one, or a more bona fide star, if you can call him that, at 31, Garendo was probably Kyle Shanahan's number one running back on his board. And to get him in round 4, I know it's the running back. I know people are going to question again, Joe Williams, Tyrion Davis-Price, Trey Sermon. There's no promise Garendo hits. That being said, if Garendo does hit, San Francisco may have hit a home run just now.
Isaac Garendo coming to the San Francisco 49ers, a senior. So once again, the trend continues as they take these elder statesmen coming out of college to join Malik Mustafa, the safety from Wake Forest, who was drafted in the 4th round, number 124 by San Francisco. And now, just moments ago, they go with a running back, Isaac Garendo, out of Louisville, who runs a 4.3 40. If you're into these sort of things, the 10-yard split at 1.55, I don't know exactly what that means, whether that's good or bad. I know what the 10-yard split means, that, you know, at that 10-yard burst, which is sort of where Brock Purdy lives,
yeah,
in that 10 yards, he is one of the best in the NFL. After that, obviously, you know, Brock Purdy can be caught from behind, but for those 10 yards, which is pretty crucial for a quarterback, he is very, very good. So Isaac Garendo is a guy that's got speed, yeah, powered.
4.3 speed.
Yeah, which is really rare, I think, when you – usually when you're talking about 4.3 speed, you're thinking of somebody like a Raheem Mostert, who, yeah, can get to the outside and just simply, once he gets to that second level, he's looking to go to the house. But he's not necessarily running through people. But it sounds as though this Isaac Garendo can lower his pads as well.
He does, and it's funny you bring up Mostert. The pro comp for Garendo has been Raheem Mostert.
Oh, wow.
And you know Kyle loved Raheem Mostert, ran wild with him against the Green Bay Packers in 2019. And obviously, things didn't end well perfectly for Mostert in San Francisco, but there's a reason why Kyle fell in love with a player like that. Just good speed, good pass blocker, unafraid to get physical. Again, there is injury history there. There was the same thing with Mostert. And all I would say is it wasn't a 3rd-round running back, folks. So the odds it hits are a lot higher than that has in the past few years. But we talked about the athletic freaks. Pearsall tested better than Ayuk. What does that mean? Maybe nothing when it comes to actual production. Garendo literally is 99th percentile in most things. Had the highest vertical, 41.5 inches for running backs. Doesn't matter that much. Not entirely, but when you talk about just all-around versatility on the ground, through the air as a receiver, and a pass blocker, the archetype for what Kyle Shanahan loves with his offensive weapons is Pearsall, is Grendo. And if you and if both these guys can hit, which we'll obviously see what happens. Again, Kyle Shanahan has found two players. If they stay healthy, they could impact year one. They really could.
Yeah, I'm looking at this guy run his 40. Wow, he is really physically put together. He looks like a running back. Doesn't mean anything at the end of the day, but Isaiah Grendo coming to the San Francisco 49ers. And I think that this is one of those picks. While I get it, there's going to be some that are going to say, all right, why are you getting a running back?
Yeah.
But I think when you're going in the fourth round and you're picking at 129, as the 49ers just did, once again, getting Isaiah Grendo out of Louisville, a senior running back with 4.3 speed, this is just the best player available. Might be the best way to characterize. Well, there's obviously there's areas of need, but when you can get an Isaiah Grendo, you're just going to simply go for it at that point. And everything else is pretty much out the door as far as, quote unquote, where we need to address.
When San Francisco picks in what seems like two more, so at 135, it's not as if like they're going to have four fourth rounders now or three fourth round picks this year. I don't know what the compensation was to move up just yet to 129, but San Francisco obviously likes a handful of players. And me and Granny talked about this yesterday as Jaden Hicks, Dane Brugler's number one safety, goes to Kansas City. So Casey's loading up. But me and Granny talked about trading back yesterday with Kansas City. Getting another fifth-round draft pick gave you flexibility to jump back up in the fourth round. San Francisco does that. John Lynch had also said that the depth in the sixth and seventh round wasn't exactly where it had been in previous years. So it's a good thing if they like a player to jump up, get them, knowing the depth that they'd want hasn't been there like it has been the past draft classes.
You know how you, who were you giving a hard time to? Was it Miami that went in the one with the punter?
It was the Bears.
It was the Chicago Bears who've had such a good draft. But keep in mind, Mitch Wishnowsky was also a fourth round pick.
Yeah, which he's turned out to be great, got a second contract. I can almost guarantee you the Niner fans would say a punter in the fourth round, even if you're guaranteed to have a Mitch Wishnowsky. Like, the value of the positional value isn't there. But that being said, Kyle Shanahan has gone kicker and punter in the third and fourth round during his tenure. But the Dolphins went running back, of all places. When you have Mostert and you have A-Chain. Yeah. I know Ken,
right, baby.
I know Ken will defend it, but I have the question. In a way, it's almost like San Francisco going receiver, but even worse because it's a running back. When you have five guys you already use a lot.
Listen, speed kills. Just give me more speed.
Yeah.
I mean, Mostert's on his last contract. I mean, he's got.
You can
say
last legs if you want to.
Yeah, he's still viable, man.
He's good.
But yeah, it's an interesting pick for sure.
The 49ers, the two fourth-round picks that are currently on the roster, Mitch Wishnowsky and Spencer Burford, the offensive lineman. So San Francisco, once again in the fourth round, going with Malik Mustafa, the safety out of Wake Forest, to sort of answer an area that has probably more question marks than any other defensively. When you think about the injury to Talanoa Hufanga and Jair Brown, still some questions surrounding him, although there is promise with the young man out of Penn State. And Tashawn Gibson, with the level of uncertainty with his future, they go with Malik Mustafa, a safety out of Wake Forest, who is a powerful guy that likes to come up in the box, as they like to say, and support that run. And then just a couple of minutes ago, a running back joined San Francisco in the fourth round, number 129 overall, Isaac Grendo out of Louisville joins the San Francisco 49ers. Again, as one of those picks, that probably the best player available. But for the San Francisco 49ers, this is a team that is just looking to stack stars for what I think is now just a quest to finally win that Super Bowl. This is not a team that is going to be satisfied getting in as a wild card or even going to the NFC Championship game and or playing in a Super Bowl. It's now about winning one.
And honestly, I think all of the picks they've taken so far can impact in some way, whether it's special teams, whether it's, you know, being offensive, being defensive players and guards and safeties. I think all of the people they've taken can impact year one. Niners are back on the clock, though, 135. I don't know who this is going to be. You would like to assume it's going to be a tight end. At least that's the hope. Christian Jones, I believe, is still out
there. Yeah, you want to do it again?
If they want to tackle, I would not be surprised if it is Christian Jones. I'm not going to look. If they want to go edge rusher, my mind screams Austin Booker, kind of a raw talent, maybe even an Xavier Thomas. But if they go tight end, I would not.
Give me one.
I'll give you one player. I think if you're going to go tight end, and that's who I think they might go here, it might be a player like Zach Hines from South Dakota State.
All right.
Now, we'll see. We'll see.
The pick is in. We want to take it live? All right, let's go to it live.
This is for the faithful. Where are my Niners at? With the 135th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Jacob Cowing, wide receiver, Arizona. Yeah, baby!
Wow.
Baby, Niner Day!
Okay.
Announced by a man who was wearing a Super Bowl ring as a hat.
Interesting.
Jacob Cowing, out of the University of Arizona.
Two receivers?
Joins the San Francisco 49ers, a Arizona Wildcat.
Wow.
With 90 receptions for 843 yards, 13 touchdowns of a year ago. 5'11", 175.
No, he's 5'8". He's 5'8".
Well, they're listing him here at 5'11".
Well, they're lying to you, because he's 5'8", about 170. Now, like Garendo, who had 4.43 speed, Jacob Cowing, 4.38 speed. So San Francisco may be taking a page out of the Dolphins' book and getting some speed electricity on the offense, but two receivers?
Well, again, if you're just looking at best players available, all that stuff is out the door in terms of trying to make sense of what it is that they're doing here. You know what this just jumps out at me? Initially, as I see Jacob Cowing and his size, you're saying he's not – they list him at 5'11". If he's coming in at 5'8 and 170 pounds.
Yeah.
Dante Pettis, hello, on line two. I mean, this is...
So, the one thing about Jacob Cowing is that he does lack the size. But if you talk to anybody, and he was a shoo-in to me for the Dolphins, simply because how much Mike McDaniel loves to work players in motion, Kyle Shanahan is kind of that number two guy, the leaderboard, if you will, in regards to putting players in motion and getting guys open schematically. Jacob Cowing had 121 targets last year, 87 receptions, just 6 drops. Despite his size, really tough to bring down. He can stretch the field with the straight line speed, but again, you get him in motion and you design him free releases, he's a nightmare to cover because he has that 4.38 speed. So maybe it is Kyle Shanahan. Mike McDaniel takes out of Kyle Shanahan books a lot. I could see Shanahan doing the exact same thing.
And I was
going
to say, yeah, I was going to say, because it's one and the same. He took his playbook, you know, from the Shanahan playbook and just brought it to Miami. What's interesting is that you got people in the chat talking about Jennings. Do you think that he's the odd man out in the scenario?
No, so, I think that Jacob Joe, he's a restricted free agent. I think that Jennings is coming back. This is the thing about Jennings, because of his height and size, was never sort of the true slot. Now it looks as though you have somebody sort of in that, while Trent Taylor is still on the roster, he fits at least physically more of the traditional exclusive slot guy, which the 49ers really never had.
Well, take it even further, I don't think it's a Juwan Jennings thing. I think it's a Danny Gray. Hey, like, you have yet to really play a single snap. There have been a couple here or there, but you can stay healthy.
Speaking of 4.3 speed.
Right, you're in the doghouse. Now, Danny Gray's a little taller, probably similar height, or weight, compared to Jacob Cowing. But I'm, for whatever reason, forgetting last year's late-round pick, who was a punt returner for us from Michigan. But it's not as if this is pushing Jennings down. It's giving San Francisco 5 solid impactful receivers in a year. I could also see Jacob Cowing being kind of stashed for a year behind some players. Like, how often did San Francisco play 3 receivers? Pearsall and Jennings, they mix and match. They can do a lot of things differently. Cowing is that just straight speed. I also wouldn't be surprised if Debo, being the thicker screen end around player, you can, I don't want to say do the exact same thing, but you can kind of have your lightning and thunder. Imagine both those guys in the backfield. They're tough as you know what to bring down. You got the thick running back, 5'11", just a trunk of a man in Debo. Then you have your lightning speed next to him in Cowing, and both those guys are just strong, incredible athletes that say, if you're going to try to bring us down, good luck. So Shanahan now has so much versatility in this offense with Garendo and Cowing and Pearsall. Is he building towards the future? Sure. But right now, I do think Garendo, and if everything works out, obviously, Pearsall and even Cowing can get impacts and plays.
And if nothing else, they got a relay team for the Olympics coming up in Paris this year. They certainly got speed. But this is a guy, you're right. Well, I just saw a profile on him listing him at 5'11", 175. Now I'm seeing He's going at 5'8", 168.
Yeah, he's
so this
tiny.
Is one of the smaller wide receivers that you'll see, which isn't necessarily a knock when you think about, you know, the Wes Welkers of the world or, you know, DeSean Jackson out of the University of California, also a small guy that could go with 4.3 speed. Golden Tate.
Yeah.
Golden Tate.
Really good.
Was also a very small football player. So, once again, it's Jacob Cowing that joins the San Francisco 49ers, a wide receiver who has 4.3 speed. 5'8", 168, so a small guy that you're assuming. I'm thinking that this guy is going to work, again, maybe the middle of that field, as most slot receivers are prone to do with that shifty quickness, to work along with the other wide receiver, Ricky Pearsall, who can play that slot and also get to the outside. But the 49ers take their second wide receiver in the 2024 draft. Number, what was he, round four, I want to say, what was he, 132 overall?
135
overall. The 49ers also, just moments ago, taking a running back by the name of Isaac Garendo. Isaac Garendo, who joins San Francisco out of Louisville, a senior, a guy that also has 4.3 speed. So back-to-back players who are at 4.3 in the 40. That's pretty fast, as you know, the 49ers looking to get some players that obviously can change things and get downfield. And as we know, speed in the NFL is something that everybody covets. The first player taken in the fourth round earlier today was Malik Mustafa, 5'11", 207 pounds, as safety, out of Wake Forest, also a senior who was a captain on that Wake Forest team that is a good run support in terms of coming up in the box and putting his helmet and getting being able to help against the run. What were you going to say?
Well, there's been a lot of talk of, because of the new kick return rule, that a lot of teams this year value a good returner. Mm. And in that conversation becomes, do you want to put Debo back there or McCaffrey? I don't think you'd want to put your stars and risk them getting injured. That being said, you got a 5'8 guy that's around 170, 168 pounds, who runs 4.3 and is tough as nails to bring down. If that doesn't scream special team kick returner running back style of player to alleviate some pressure off Debo. You have Trent Taylor there, that's fine. But I would not be surprised if we see Jacob Cowing be this team's kick returner this season.
Not to mention they lose Ray McCloud.
Exactly.
So there's an area of need there. All right, we'll continue to talk about it. The San Francisco 49ers in the fourth round have three players now that have just joined the team. We'll break it down and talk about a little bit more in detail their most recent pick, Cowling out of the University of Arizona, a diminutive small wide receiver and or a slot, most likely a slot. We'll break all that down for you much more as we talk about the draft in day three, rounds 4-7, Sterling and Bennett and Dan Avone. Back after this.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.